Welcome to The Bridge, the radio ministry of the Bridge Bible Fellowship in Reseda, California, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Paul Brown. Today, Pastor Paul will teach on spiritual warfare and how to win the battle for your mind.
Jesus is the bridge, the way to life eternal. Come and see, come and live, come and grow. Come and see, come and live, come and grow.
Our church is sponsoring a series of Wednesday night gatherings for the whole family called Summer Nights at the Bridge. We start with a barbecue dinner at 5:45 p.m., followed by special programs for children and middle schoolers at 6:45, and a different guest speaker each week for high school and adults. This week, our guest speaker is my dear friend, Pastor Lance Quinn of Bethany Church on the Hill in Thousand Oaks. Please invite your friends and join us at the Bridge Bible Fellowship, 18644 Sherman Way in Reseda, California. Call 818-776-1500 if you have any questions. Well, in the news recently was the sad story that best-selling author and Emmy Award winner Anthony Bourdain took his own life at the age of 61. This came on the heels of another tragedy when fashion designer Kate Spade took her life a few days earlier. The Center for Disease Control and Prevention reported that suicide rates have increased 25% nationally from 1999 to 2016. And in the year 2016, there were more than twice as many suicides as homicides, and more than half of them did not have a known mental illness. Over 50 years ago, Pastor Donald Gray Barnhouse wrote a book called The Invisible War. In it, he described the intense, vicious, unrelenting war that Satan wages for control of people's minds. This battle is described for us all through the Bible, from Genesis chapter 3 through Revelation chapter 20. The only chapters in the Bible where this battle isn't raging is the first two in Genesis prior to sin in the garden, and the last two in Revelation when we're in heaven. Everywhere else, there's a war. Satan knows that if he controls your mind, he can control you. That is why the Word of God speaks so frequently about being diligent to guard, renew, strengthen, submit, and protect our hearts and minds. Why is this so important? Because Jesus told us that Satan is a liar and he's a murderer. He and his demonic hosts influence the thoughts of people and even encourage them to suicide. Now, there are a myriad of other ways the Bible speaks about how demons influence people, but one of the primary ways is in the thought life. And I want to submit to you, as we continue our study on spiritual warfare, it is not a power encounter. Spiritual warfare is primarily a truth encounter. And so far in our study, we've looked at the perspective about spiritual warfare, the participants in the battle, the purpose that Satan has for it, and then what God has for it. We've looked at positive purposes that God uses spiritual warfare in our lives when there's no sin involved. And we've looked at the negative purposes when God allows Satan and his hosts to attack us because there is sin in our lives. And after looking at all those, we asked the question, but how specifically does Satan attack? And how do I resist so that he will flee from me? Well, in the coming weeks, we will find out as we continue our study and learn how to win the battle first for our minds and then secondly for our emotions, our feelings. So listen carefully because we are in a war. Satan is a master strategist, but God knows his every move and has revealed Satan's strategy to us. And God has given us provisions for victory. I remember the story in World War II when General George Patton was engaging in battles in North Africa. His troops engaged in a successful counterattack against German forces under General Erwin Rommel. Patton shouted in the thick of the battle, "I read your book, Rommel. I read your book." Prior to the war, Patton had read Rommel's book, Infantry Attacks, which carefully detailed his military strategy. Patton knew what to expect and planned his moves accordingly. And we must do the same in our battle with Satan. We must understand his strategies and then appropriate God's resources to resist him. We are in a war, but it's a war that we can win by God's grace and power. So this week I want to look at our enemy, the devil. Next week we will look at our ally. So let's start with our enemy. We come to know a lot about him by his names. The Bible has a myriad of names for him. I'm just going to give you a few. The first one you are most familiar with probably is the name Satan. We see this in Job and in Zechariah and Matthew 4, Romans 16. It's the word that means adversary or opposer. It's used 52 times in the New Testament and Old Testament. Satan is our adversary. He is our enemy. He is opposed to us. He wants to stop us, thwart us, hurt us, kill us. That's the first name. The second name we're very familiar with is the name devil. We find this in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, and this is the word that means slanderer. It occurs 35 times in the New Testament, not in the Old Testament. Satan's a slanderer. The first person he wants to slander, this started way back in the Garden of Eden, is God himself. He wants you to believe false things about God. He wants to denigrate God's character. He doesn't want you to believe high things about God. And so he will attack God and his character any chance he gets. He also will slander you in your own mind, and he will also slander those closest to you and even people in authority, like your pastor and government leaders. He loves to use slander. A third name that is associated with him, if you believe Isaiah 14:12 is talking about him, is the name Lucifer, meaning son of the morning or the day star, a very prominent, powerful, high up individual. Another name is Beelzebub or Beelzebul in Matthew 12, means lord of the flies or the dung heap. You get that picture of the kind of being that he is, a stinky, smelly, rotten individual. Fifth name is Belial. 2 Corinthians 6:15 refers to worthlessness. There is no value to being near him or associated with him in any way. The sixth name is the evil one, and the names go on. He is the tempter, Matthew 4, the prince of demons, Matthew 12, the prince of this world, John 12. He is the spirit of the world, 1 Corinthians 2:12, the god of this age, 2 Corinthians 4, the prince of the power of the air, Ephesians 2. That would mean the air, the authorities around us, the governing authorities, everything that surrounds us. He is under God's authority, having control of those things. He is also the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. He is the power of darkness, Luke 22. He is described as he who is in the world. He's roaming around doing things. He's active. He's engaged. He is seeking people to wipe out. Revelation 12 says he is the one who deceives the whole world. Revelation 12, he is the accuser of the brethren. These are names given to this man who is our enemy, this evil being, this demon. There are symbolic representations of him as well. Revelation 12 says he's the great red dragon or the serpent of old. 2 Corinthians 11, he disguises himself as an angel of light. He's a deceiver. He's tricky. And 1 Peter 5, he is described like a roaring lion. He wants to scare you to death. He wants to intimidate you. He wants to cause you to tremble and fall. Well, that's his names. We also learn about his nature. The Bible says that Satan is just evil. How do we know that? Well, John chapter 8, verse 44 says he's a murderer. That word literally means man killer. He is the one behind abortion. He is the one behind euthanasia. He is the one behind suicide. He is the one behind gang members out there murdering one another. He is a murderer. Secondly, his evil nature is shown in the fact that he's a liar. John 8:44, Jesus describes him as the father of lies. In other words, lies are his offspring. He just develops lie after lie after lie. 1 John 3:8, he is a confirmed sinner. He is a rebel against God. 1 Peter 5:8, he is our adversary. And in Revelation 12:10, it is his evil nature to accuse. And I'm not talking about positive accusations that would cause us to change for the good. This is destructive criticism, slander, gossip, evil accusations that will be used to divide the people of God. Wow, that's scary, isn't it? But the good news is, 1 John 2:2 says Jesus Christ is our advocate. Satan wants to accuse you every day, and unfortunately, we give him a lot of ammunition. We think, say, and do dumb things, and he would go before God and accuse us, but Jesus is there as our public defender. And he can stand there and say to God, not guilty, not guilty, not guilty. I paid for every one of those sins with my own blood. Well, Satan, his nature is that he's evil. And secondly, he has definite limitations. He's intelligent, but he's not omniscient. He is powerful, but he's not omnipotent. He's represented in many places, but he's not omnipresent. Certainly, he's very quick, but he's not everywhere at all times like our God is. He can be resisted, James 4:7 and 1 Peter 5:9 say, and he is subject to the boundaries of God's will. Job 1, Job chapter 2, 1 Corinthians 10:13. He has limitations. He can only do what God allows him to do. God is sovereign even over this evil being. So whatever he does, it is always under the control of our sovereign God. So what is he really? He's a liar. And he's limited. Revelation chapter 20, verse 10 says, ultimately, he is a defeated foe. So we need not fear him. We need not cower at him. We need not run away from him. We can learn how to stand and resist him because he has limitations. Well, next we're going to look at how he attacks us. But if you've just joined us, you're listening to The Bridge, the radio ministry of the Bridge Bible Fellowship in Reseda, California. I'm Pastor Paul Brown, and we are in the midst of a topical study on spiritual warfare. And today we are looking at our enemy, the devil. We've seen his names and his nature. Now, thirdly, what are his methods? And this is critical for us to understand if we're going to recognize what he's doing and fight against him. Well, if you are an unbeliever listening today, or if you know folks that are unbelievers who have been resistant to the gospel of Jesus Christ, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 14 through 16 says, their minds were hardened, for until this very day at the reading of the Old Covenant, the same veil remains unlifted because it is removed in Christ. But to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their heart, but whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Paul is saying that there are folks that can hear God's word, but they can't understand it because there's a veil. Where does that veil come from? Chapter 4 says, and even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the god of this world, that's the devil, has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. What is Paul telling us? Satan attacks the mind. The word mind or thoughts, the Greek word noema, it refers to your innermost being, your thought life, where you plan and decide things. And Satan blinds the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see and comprehend the glories of Jesus Christ and the gospel of salvation by grace alone through faith alone. Satan attacks the mind, not only of unbelievers, he attacks the minds of believers. Why? If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, he wants you thinking wrong thoughts because he knows those thoughts will develop into attitudes, and those attitudes will develop into actions, and those actions will develop into who you are. He doesn't want you to be effective, so he attacks your mind. Listen to some passages about this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, Paul is describing a very profound issue going on in the Corinthian church. We'll study more in a few weeks. Said, so that no advantage would be taken of us by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes. That's the word again, noema. That is the word of mind, thought, strategies, plans. Satan thinks very carefully about the way he attacks you and attacks me. And in the NIV, it says that Satan might not outwit us, outthink us. He is a brilliant mind, and he is thinking constantly how he can attack you, deceive you, mislead you, cause you to go down the wrong path. He is devious, and he has a scheme. He has a plan. He has a strategy. He has thought it through very carefully, both how he will attack us individually and corporately. Now, in a few weeks, we will look at this particular scheme in 2 Corinthians 2 in our study of the battle for our emotions. But as we think about the battle for our mind, Ephesians 6:11 says, we should put on the full armor of God so that we will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Now, we saw the word schemes, noema, in 2 Corinthians 2. Now, in Ephesians 6, Paul uses a different Greek word, methodeia. These are the methods, the systematic way, orderly way, logical way that Satan strategizes his attack against us. He has a plan and he carries it out meticulously. So this word schemes is different in these two words, two different Greek words, but the same concept. Satan wants to manipulate your mind. He plays mind games with believers. He distorts thoughts, feelings, and attitudes with our minds as his chief target. 2 Corinthians 11:14 says, "No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light." In other words, Satan uses guerrilla warfare. He tries to get on the inside. He's a mole coming inside and disguising himself as if he's on our team, but he's not. Where does he aim his fiery darts from Ephesians 6:16? 2 Corinthians 11:3 says, "I'm afraid that as a serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ." He's coming after your mind. He's coming after my mind. He wants to impact our thought life. How does he do that? Garbage in, garbage out. Proverbs 15:14, the New Living Translation, says it this way, "A wise person is hungry for knowledge, while the fool feeds on trash." Some other translations say folly, emptiness, foolishness, unwise thought patterns. The foolish person will just take anything in without thinking. They're gullible, and you shouldn't be that way. Believer, if you want to make a difference, you've got to guard your mind. How does Satan attack the minds of people? Well, through education. He has an educational system in our country that is contrary to the truth of God's word, and it is taught, Romans 1 says, by highly educated fools. They don't know they're fools. They think they're highly educated and they're telling the truth, but they've been misled by the enemy. Materialism is another way. Through material things, he wants to get us to love and trust in this world, but this world is passing away. Through our worldview, the lens through which we see and interpret the world, he impacts us with false worldviews. Through false teachers outside and inside the church, he misleads us. Through visual stimuli. Do you realize how impacted we are by visual stimuli? And it used to be we'd have to wait till we got home after work to view it, but now it's everywhere. We have it on our smartphones and even our watches. Everywhere we go, there is grotesque visual stimuli that can lead us away from the truth. The music that we listen to. So many of the artists today are propagating lies, leading people away from biblical truth. And it's listened to over and over and over until it's meditated upon and it impacts our thoughts, attitudes, actions, and emotions. TV, radio, books, friends, carnal believers are all instruments of his to lead us astray. Half-truths, one of his favorite tricks, through cults, world religions, etc. They'll use partial truth, but it has a lot of error. There's also misapplication of truth. That's what Satan tried to do to Jesus when he tempted him in Matthew chapter 4. There's doubt, not healthy doubt that causes you to study deeper, but doubt that makes you want to run away from God's truth. There's distractions, maybe even right now. You're not listening. Your mind is wandering. Satan loves that to keep us from thinking clearly about truth and listening intently. Then he just flat out lies. And here's the trick. These are lies inside your head in the first person singular with your accent. You think these are your thoughts, but they're not. He is impacting your thought life, trying to get you to think about things that are untrue. You say, does this really happen? Yeah. In 1 Chronicles chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, King David, speaking of him, says, "Then Satan stood up against Israel and moved David to number Israel." David wanted a census of all the warriors so he would know what assets he had available. This wasn't God's thoughts. 2 Samuel 24:1 says, David thought they were his thoughts. Satan moved David. David thought it was his thoughts. Matthew 16, speaking of Peter, Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." But just a few verses later, in verses 21, "From that time Jesus began to show his disciples he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised up on the third day." Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord, this shall never happen to you." And Jesus said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on God's interests, but man's." In one moment, Peter had a heavenly revelation, "You are the Christ." Then in another moment, he had a hellish revelation, "God forbid it, Lord, I'll never let you go to the cross." It sounded logical to Peter. He was thinking it according to his understanding of the prophecies of the Messiah. This fit his worldview, but he was wrong. These were not God's thoughts. In John 13, verse 2, Judas, during supper, the devil having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him. Judas thought these were his thoughts. They were the devil's. Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira. Peter said, "Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit?" Did Ananias and Sapphira know that was Satan doing it? No, they thought they were their thoughts. Romans 12:2, "Do not be conformed to this world," this world system that is directed by the enemy, the devil. "Instead, be transformed by the renewing of your minds." 1 Timothy 4:1, the Spirit explicitly says that in later times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. Satan's plan is to lie. He uses deceitful doctrines, even inside of churches, to lead people away. And he will try to convince you that if you don't do what he says, you're not true to yourself. Boy, I was in a counseling situation one time, and a person told me they got into an adulterous relationship because it was God's will for their life. No, it wasn't. That's not God's will. That's a lie. People say it can't be wrong when it feels so right. Oh, yes, it can. If God says it's wrong, it's wrong. What does Satan do? He wants to lie to you. He wants you to doubt your salvation. He wants you to doubt God's word. He wants to feed you with that line, "Be open-minded." Don't be open-minded if it contradicts what God has clearly revealed. Or you'll say to yourself, "I can't resist. I have no self-control." Yes, you do. Or, "Everybody struggles with this. It's okay. I'm only human." That doesn't matter. "It's your parents' fault." No, it's not. "Nobody knows what I'm going through." Yes, they do. "I deserve a break today." What kind of a break? "Well, I can't do what God wants. It's too hard." Listen, friends, if God calls you to do it, he'll empower you to do it. Or, "I'm shy. I can't evangelize." Oh, the power of the Holy Spirit is enough. Or, "I'm stupid." No, you're not. You have the mental gifts God gave you. Don't believe the enemy's lies. My friends, we're in an invisible war right now, and Satan has flooded our lives and our minds with lies. We must not be passive. We must engage. What do I need to do? Number one, don't believe everything others tell you. Check it out. See if what they're saying is true. Acts 17:11. Secondly, don't believe everything you think. Even your own heart and mind is deceived. Thirdly, guard your mind from garbage. Fill your mind with God's healthy food. Fourth, be a lifelong learner, a disciple. Read your Bible every day. Study it. Meditate upon it. Memorize it. Apply it. And then fifth, go to a Bible teaching church where you can receive ongoing training to engage in the battle, fight for your mind, resist the enemy, and overcome him. If you don't know of a good church in your area, contact us. We'd love to tell you where one is. And if you're in our area and you don't have a good church, come visit us. We'd love to have you. We would love to equip you to win the war for the glory of God.
We truly face an evil, unrelenting enemy. And he wants control of our minds. But God is infinitely greater than Satan, and he provides all we need for victory. One of those provisions is the local church where we can learn and grow and fight together. If you don't have a church home, please join us. Our Sunday worship service is at 9 a.m., followed by Sunday school for all ages at 10:45 a.m. We are located at 18644 Sherman Way in Reseda, California. For more information about our church, please go to www.thebridgebiblefellowship.com. Please join us this Wednesday night at 5:45 p.m. for Summer Nights at the Bridge. And join us again next Saturday morning at 7:30 a.m. on 99.5 KKLA as we continue our study on spiritual warfare.